Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yo, what's going on, Busted Open Nation? And thank you very much for tuning in to another edition of the Busted Open After Dark Podcast with me, Uncle Bully. Tonight, post-Dynamite review, MJF, Adam Cole, and the friendship that we see taking place right before our very eyes. How long is it going to last, and how long before MJF cuts Adam Cole's throat? Also, the debut of 18-year-old Nick Wayne. Do you like him? Do you love him? Or do you hate him? And did they make the right decision of having him lose his first match? That and so much more, the Busted Open After Dark Podcast. Throw your horns in the air and turn it up to 11. Lots of stuff that I liked. A couple of things that I didn't like. Seems like the same old situation at times. But we'll try to concentrate on the positive. The band of the night, Ozzy Osbourne. The Prince of Effin' Darkness himself. And let's all give a shout out to Ozzy. Get well soon. Hope to see you back up on stage. So we'll be playing some of your favorite Ozzy Osbourne tracks tonight. Thanks to the Nation and all of the chapters of the Busted Open Nation. You know what to do. Pick up your Twitter machine, screen cap where you're listening from, send it out to my Twitter, the Busted Open Twitter, your sister's ass Twitter, every Twitter that you know, let us know where you're coming from. What do you think MJF and Adam Cole were doing shots of tonight? One of the best answers that I saw was Manischewitz. That popped me pretty good. But what do you think they were doing shots of? Call in and let me know. Now, the things that stood out to me the most, it was a toss-up of what I wanted to start off with. But I think I'm going to give the spotlight to the young 18-year-old kid, Nick Wayne. We saw Nick Wayne in a video package, a vignette, and we saw Nick Wayne's first match tonight against Swerve Strickland. I really liked the package that we saw of him, the story that he told, the very real life story about his dad passing away, him wanting to follow in his dad's footsteps, and sitting on the apron of the wrestling ring that was out in a shed in his backyard, in the same spot where as a young child, his mom had to tell him that his dad's heart issues caught up with him and his dad no longer was with him anymore. He wants to walk in his footsteps and he wants to become a wrestling star. Later on in the night, we got a great first match, a good to great first match from Nick Wayne. Putting him in there with Swerve helped him out a lot. Swerve familiar with a Nick Wayne-esque style. But the part of the match that I loved the most was the finish. Not the actual finishing maneuver, but the finish of the 1-2-3. Nick Wayne lost his first match. If you were listening to Busted Open yesterday, Tuesday, we had Izzy on. Izzy, at the age of 16 years old, is having her first match for Mission Pro Wrestling. And my best advice to her was to lose her first match. There's a line from an Aerosmith song, and the name of the song is Dream On. And in that song, it says, you got to learn how to lose before you learn how to win. And the same applies for pro wrestling. Lose, 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 and lose again until it's the right time for that first victory. Earn that first victory. We're already emotionally invested in Nick Wayne. He has one hell of a story. So he doesn't have to win. And in him losing every time he goes out there, we're going to get more and more behind him as long as he can always remind us of what he's fighting for. He's fighting for himself and his dream of becoming a pro wrestler, and he's also fighting the dream of following in his dad's footsteps. So I thought it was a very wise decision on AEW's part to have Nick Wayne lose that first match. Other things that stood out to me tonight was the obvious story and the thread of MJF and Adam Cole and their alliance and their budding friendship, and how it's obviously bothering Roderick Strong. Roderick was a small part of the story tonight, confronting Adam Cole backstage. But to me, Roderick almost came off as a bit whiny. And I don't want to see Roderick come off as whiny. I want him to come off, despite the fact that he's injured, I still want him in Cole's face. I want him to act like a best friend. If you have a real best friend, you know you can talk to them in any way, shape, or form. And I want Roderick to show a side of him in which he's, you know, really confronting Adam Cole and saying, come on, man, you know this guy is full of it. You know he's going to stab you in the back. You know he's going to slit your throat. Roddy almost came off like a bit of a buzzkill tonight. So I hope they give him a little bit more bass in his voice and a little bit more, a little bit more of that, you know, just stand up and really, you know, tell Adam Cole how it is. MJF and Cole in the vignette, in the bar, doing shots together. MJF trying to get Adam Cole to be a bad boy and turn his eye to Britt Baker. But Adam Cole wasn't having any of that. He's got eyes for Britt only. We see MJF walk off with four women and come back like 5 seconds later. I don't know what that says for MJF, but he must have a subscription to Blue Chew. I just popped myself for that one. And then, you know, we see Adam Cole telling MJF, you know what would be really cool? And I shouted out as I was sitting on my couch, oh no, they're going to play video games. And lo and behold, they're playing video games. Anybody who's an Adam Cole fan knows that he's a massive video game guy. We've even had Britt Baker on Busted Open, and we're like, what do you guys like to do in your spare time? And she's like, well, Adam likes to play video games. They're playing video games. And here's what I loved about the scene with the video games is how that little by little, you can tell that MJF and Cole are starting to like each other. They're starting to really get along. And it's almost as if MJF slips up tonight and he goes, yeah, this is a lot of fun, but you need friends in order to do it with. And Adam Cole realizes that, wow, this guy doesn't have any friends. But I think that's just what MJF wants Cole to believe. That's where he's luring him in. And I like him luring him in a different way, playing at his heartstrings. Because you can tell, listen, Adam Cole is a nice guy. He's a nice guy in real life. And even in the wrestling ring, despite the fact that he might have the spirit of the fight and the heart of a lion, you could still tell him, you know, he's a genuine nice guy. And I think what MJF told him really resonated with Adam Cole tonight. And he's like, you know, he warmed up to him a bit, you know, he almost verbally put his arm around MJF's shoulder and said, don't worry, Max, I'll be your friend. And you could almost see, if you know that look in Max's eyes, you can almost see him, you know, the wheels a-turning and the devil's horns a-spurning, because that's how he's going to lure him in. Or does Adam Cole see it coming from a mile away? That's what I love about this. We all know, or we can assume, that MJF is going to screw Cole over at the end of the day, but maybe Cole knew it all along. And maybe this is just a masterful game of chess that Adam Cole is playing with MJF. So the vignette backstage, really, really enjoyed the story of the friendship is being told. We get to the match. Now, this is where I had some concerns. Because you got Adam Cole and MJF in the ring with two of the biggest men in AEW. Brian Cage should probably be posing in the Mr. Olympia, and Big Bill looks like a Greek god. These are massive, massive men against two undersized guys as compared to Big Bill and to Brian Cage. And I was wondering what psychology they were going to go with for the match. Halfway into the match, I'm saying to myself, it felt more like a fun house show or live event match than a TV match. We got to remember, this is for the tournament, the tag team, the blind eliminator tournament, or whatever they're calling it. There should be a degree of seriousness to it at all times. I'm all about levity, but in this situation, you're going up against monsters. You're trying to get Adam Cole to continually trust you, and you want to win the tournament. So like I said, felt a little bit like a house show. And as you guys know, on Busted Open, I put MJF over to the moon 99% of the time. Big MJF fan. But something happened in the body of the match that I really, really did not like. It really bothered me.
Hey, everyone, it's Howard Bender from the Andy Up Podcast. Every weekday, Adam Ronis and I serve you up the picks, plays, and fantasy information needed to win your bets. You know, this isn't just your average sports betting show, though, for one very good reason. We won't tell you what to do unless we've already done it ourselves. That's right. We put our money where our mouths are, so we're just as invested in each bet as you are. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
But I was saying there was an aspect of the match that bothered me and that I did not like. So I'm going to tell you what it was, and I'm going to tell you how they should have done it as opposed to how I would have done it. See, if I tell you I would have done it that way, now it's just a difference of opinion creatively. I'm going to tell you how they should have done it because there can be no argument in what I'm about to say. Because anybody who knows the industry knows that what I'm about to tell you is dead on balls accurate. Big Bill and MJF are finally face to face. And Bill actually starts stepping backwards, backing down oh so subtly to MJF. I'm not buying it at all. At all. Then Bill throws a punch. MJF does a great job of registering the punch. But if a man who is 7 feet tall, who looks like Big Bill, punches you in the face, I guarantee you, you're going down. What should have happened is MJF should have took a bump. And then he should have gotten up slowly. He should have registered the punch. He should have sold the punch. And then he should have gotten up slowly and turned to Big Bill. And Bill should have knocked him down again. And MJF should have registered the punch, took the bump, sold the punch, and then gotten up again. And then we go to a little hokiness with the biting of the finger and then into the body slam. That aspect, that part of the match, to me, didn't do anything for anybody. Yes, I understand that the crowd popped. Yes, I understand that they were into it. But this is their first time in Saskatoon, and you could go out there and crap into your hand and throw it into the fifth row, and they're going to pop for it. Most AEW fans will get on board for just about anything, and that's not a negative. But if a guy Big Bill size hits you twice in the face and you're not even falling once, I'm sorry. That is beyond the realm of believability. It wasn't even as if they did a spirit of the fight type of spot. I would have liked to have seen MJF go down. You got to keep credibility on your big men. And I, as I was thinking that, watching the match, I remembered something that I've been saying for a long time. AEW is not a big man company. It's not a big man territory. Every once in a while, one big man gets a taste of something there, whether it's Powerhouse Hobbs, whether it's a little bit of Keith Lee over the past couple of weeks, hit the brakes on that one again, whether it's Brian Cage, whether it's Big Bill. If I was standing in the middle of the ring with Big Bill and he would have punched me in the face, I would have taken a bump. And then I would have gotten up slowly and I would have looked at him and I would have said, hit me again. And he would have popped me in the mouth again and I would have taken another bump. Now, as Bully Ray at 6'3", 290 pounds, rip chiseled and Jack, by the way, I'm a body guy now. If I can bump, so can MJF. And MJF's a body guy too. Last week, throwing around 315 like it's nothing. That bothered me. Another thing that bothered me was the actual finish. No protection for Brian Cage. What they should have done in the finish is a misdirection spot in which, here's a very simple way to explain it. Big Bill should have came across the ring like he was trying to take Adam Cole's head off. Big Bill gives that huge mafia kick, that big boot to Brian Cage. Cage goes down. MJF takes Big Bill and throws him over the top rope or dumps him over the top rope. And then Adam Cole hits the ropes and hits that Shining Wizard-esque move to the back of Cage's head. 1, 2, 3. This is how you protect talent, whether they're small, whether they're big. There's always a way to protect a guy. And I don't think AEW went out of their way to protect Big Bill or Brian Cage tonight. And the reason is they're really not important in the bigger picture for the MJF and Adam Cole story. That does not mean that they have to be sacrificed the way they were tonight. Always protect your big men. You never know when you're going to need them, and you're going to need them to be credible.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.